Hello and welcome to another episode of Talk About Tomorrow, the Futurist podcast with me, Tom Cheesewright. This week, two stories as usual. First of all, looking at the future of the city following my recent appearance on BBC Radio 4's The Moral Maze. And then, well, something a bit down and dark, I'm afraid. Four of the greatest threats that humanity faces over the next few years. The city is dead. Long live the city. I appeared on Radio 4's Moral Maze recently, as one of the witnesses giving evidence to the panel of guests. I confess, I struggle to listen to this programme, as it gives airtime to some panellists who, well, let's say their moral frameworks do not align with my own. I'll leave it at that. But this time they all reined it in a little, and appearing on the show was good fun. The topic was the future of the city. In light of the pandemic, the death of the high street and the acceleration of remote working, should we all be abandoning cities for smaller towns and countryside living? My answer was a resounding no. In fact, quite the opposite. I argued that if we are to address some of the major crises of our time, climate change, the ageing population and economic disruption, then we need more of us to be living in cities, not fewer. This may sound counterintuitive, but you are likely to have a much lower carbon footprint living in central London than you would living in the middle of the countryside. One might be literally greener, but the city is far and away the more environmentally friendly choice. Why? Well, for a start, your home is likely to be newer and better insulated, not least because there are likely to be other homes above and below it. The infrastructure and the tarmac around you stores heat, keeping temperatures in cities 1 to 3 degrees warmer than the countryside, further reducing your investment in heating. When you travel in a city, the amenities are much closer by, and you have a much greater chance of being able to travel by public transport. Getting to work, the shops, the pub, or a museum, you will expend a lot less energy. Their environmental benefits are only one of my arguments in favour of cities. The collapse in our birth rate means that our population is ageing even faster than we thought. In the UK, we have been offsetting some of this trend through immigration. That is going to be a challenge in the face of Brexit and a weak economy. We need to find solutions to caring for our ageing population with a declining tax base. One of the ways to do that is to keep people self-sufficient for longer, and when they do need care, enable us to care for them more cost-effectively. Cities are the ideal place to do this. In a city, all the amenities can be close by. Public transport should enable people to get to whatever they need without access to a car or private transport service. If they do need door-to-door travel, taxis are relatively cheap. When people do need care, having them grouped in a city means care workers can get to them more easily and emit less carbon in the process. Cities also have benefits from an economic perspective, not least with regards to public services. Cities are the cheapest place to serve citizens with utilities. The closer together people are, the more cost-effective it is to provide water, waste services, electricity and connectivity. This is why many rural parts of the country still run on oil deliveries and septic tanks and have crap broadband. Cities are also cheaper places to provide a wider variety of public services, at least on a per capita basis. Put a park or museum in, and it might immediately be accessible by hundreds of thousands of people. Likewise, schools and hospitals. In tough times for the economy as we are facing now, this becomes important. If we are to escape the economic doldrums, the dense nature of a city is also important. Densely packed cities have higher economic productivity, especially when they're well connected with public transport. The bandwidth of being there face to face has value, as does the proximity of other creative souls, suppliers, partners, and entrepreneurs. None of this is to say that we should preserve cities as they are. Cities thrive on change, and our cities need radical change if they are to be the vehicle to address the economic, ageing, and environmental crises facing us. They need new housing. They need better infrastructure for transport, energy, and water. We need to radically rethink our high streets as places of convergence, not a retail monoculture. We need to adapt our cities to changing working patterns, building for a steady flow of people around the city, not artificial peaks in morning and evening. We need to begin turning parking spaces over to living as we invest in car alternatives and, eventually, autonomous vehicles make city centre parking largely unnecessary. We need to think about other ways to reuse space that might formerly have been offices, factories or shops, like farming perhaps. We need to think about affordability, ensuring that city centres don't become a monoculture of another kind. We need to bring people of all ages back to the city centre to live, and we need to make it attractive and affordable for them to do so. City centres need to be clean, green and safe. I'm not advocating for everyone to live in a city, nor am I arguing for any type of coerced relocation as we may have seen in the past. We're going to need and want people living and working across the country, and particularly the countryside, for the foreseeable future. I'm also not arguing for further economic centralisation around London. The UK's other great cities all have roles to play in tackling the challenges we face, and we will fail to tackle them if we don't focus investment there as much as anywhere. But cities, and specifically large, densely populated cities, evolved to meet today's needs. And they are a critical part of the answer to tomorrow's crises. A race between the four horsemen. In a post for Locus magazine, Cory Doctorow laid out his scepticism about general AI in a piece entitled Full Employment. He argued that there's no sign that a general AI, one that can replicate human adaptability in tasks, is on the horizon, and that the work required to address climate change is so great that we are much more likely to see full employment than the AI-driven unemployment that many have predicted. I disagree with Doctorow's analysis of AI. Right now, I don't believe that we are close to a general AI. I'm more open-minded than Doctorow about the idea that current AI systems have the capability to evolve into something more generally capable. But the gap remains large. My criticism is that I just don't think AI has to be very sophisticated in order to replace humans in the workplace. It's an argument that I've made many times, so I won't repeat it in too much detail here. Suffice to say that if you break any job down into its component tasks, today's machines are eminently capable of handling many of them. If you accept that machines take work, tasks, rather than jobs, then you can see that the remaining work can be redistributed among a smaller number of humans. Where I don't disagree with Doctorow is on the scale of the challenge presented by climate change. I have little doubt that large proportions of humanity will be involved with the mitigation response. But the idea that this will offset any job losses due to automation brings me back to one of the most difficult parts of futurism. Seeing not what, but when. Even before the pandemic, I was concerned about our prospects for the next 20 to 30 years. While it's not quite the apocalypse, there are four modern horsemen of disaster racing to cause us problems. Climate. In this period, directly or indirectly, climate change will start to affect the more moderate climes. Changes in weather patterns, disruption to agriculture, sea level rises. Until this point, climate change has been something most people could ignore, should they so choose. This choice is going away in the next few decades. Technology. The prospect of technological disruption to employment in the economy is another major issue for the next 20 or 30 years. Whether you want to generously call it AI, or perhaps prefer the more accurate machine learning and robotics, there is potential for swathes of workers to be displaced by machines in the next three decades, from administrative, customer service, logistics and manual roles. Politics. We are in a rancorous period of global relations. Violence so far has been primarily inside borders rather than between them. But our international trading relationships are collapsing and our diplomatic ties being strained. And domestic leaders in many countries seem to be incompetent, mad, corrupt, vicious, or some combination of all of these. Disease. The latest addition to this lineup is the global pandemic, spreading effortlessly through our international connections, strained as they are. It's unlikely to end quickly, and we are likely to see more of its type. My horseman analogy falls down when it comes to timing. This isn't about which of these potential challenges will win a race to reach us, all four are here already. The question is the speed and scale at which their effects will be felt. Doctorow might be right. Our climate mitigation effects might start well before we adopt robotics and machine learning technologies to a level that severely disrupts the labour market. Or he might not. The scale of job losses in the retail sector right now is pretty dramatic. We could attribute these to the pandemic, but really this is just the acceleration of a trend towards automation and self-service that has been rolling for years. The pandemic may accelerate the adoption of automation technologies in the retail supply chain and logistics. It may also accelerate them in other fields. Administration, customer service, finance, law. Once people are out of the office, perhaps we'll be less squeamish about replacing them with machines. Even if you ignore the technological effects, the pandemic has clearly had a terrible effect on our economy. Many are bracing themselves for job losses in the coming months. During lockdown, almost 150,000 people have been made redundant and over 9 million furloughed. This doesn't even include the many self-employed who sit outside the support schemes, or many not to be counted as having lost their jobs despite their income having collapsed. Full employment feels like a long way from here. This is especially true in the current turbulent political environment, where it is hard to see coordinated efforts to restore global prosperity, or for that matter, a coherent effort to address climate change. If we were to start the process now, I can see the creation of an enormous number of jobs that might redress the losses currently being experienced. But it feels more likely to me that these efforts won't really start until the effects start to bite. That is the nature of our politics right now, always focused on today, not tomorrow. In the meantime, it is going to be a difficult few years, whichever of the horsemen is leading the race. That second post was written in July 2020 originally. Some of those stats now are even more scary than they were then, certainly in terms of redundancies. Although perhaps the picture is a little brighter in terms of international cooperation with a new president in place. We shall see. That's it for this episode. Thanks as usual for listening. I hope you enjoyed these stories and found them useful. If you like what you've heard, please do leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. It really does help. And go and check out tomcheesewright.com as well. You'll find loads of stories there, more blog posts, more podcasts, and links to my books as well, High Frequency Change and Future Proof Your Business. One more little plug this week. If you do like the way I think, write and speak about these issues, why not get me in to work with your organisation? I've kicked off this year working with Sony on the future of healthcare, with Ford on the future of transport, and I'm always looking for new, exciting companies to work with. Drop me a line at tomcheesewright.com if you'd be interested in working with me to get a clearer vision of tomorrow and share that vision with your colleagues or customers or partners. Thanks again for listening.